RCR with Paul Brennan. Reality Check Radio.
Drag performers Sunita Torrance and Daniel Lockett are suing Destiny Church leader Brian Tumaki for $2 million, citing defamation, breach of contract, conspiracy to injure, and unlawful means conspiracy following protests against their library story time. She's here to respond to Brian Tumaki's interview we had about a week ago, exactly a week ago. Sunita is owner of House of Flash, the entertainment company that runs Drag Queen Story Times, as well as being one of the performers. Sunita, thanks for coming on to RCR this morning to talk about this.
No, thanks for asking me. That's no worries.
Is this awkward for you?
No, I'm good. I mean, it's, you know, the more people that I can kind of talk to, the better, I think. And, I know that you've got a view and that's absolutely fine. We've all got our views.
You can understand, though, and this is part of a bigger issue, to be fair. There are more angles, more dimensions to all of this than just the story times. But you can understand the communities, or a lot of the communities, thinking on this, can you?
I can absolutely understand, only because of the information that they are looking into and believing, and just, yeah, just the thought processes in the minds of all the stuff about, you know, transgender ideology and things like that, which I absolutely do not subscribe to at all. And so I have what I do and what my company does, and I cannot say what anyone else does, but, you know, that's all I can comment on is my own stuff.
No, fair enough. We'll get into more specifics your actions against Brian Tumaki and, by extension, Destiny Church. What do you do in your shows? I haven't been to one of these shows. I know nothing. Describe what happens in the shows.
Yeah, absolutely.
What is the entertainment about? What's the format and what's the aim?
Yep. So the format of the entire show is we get introduced by a librarian. Well, I get introduced. Coco Flash gets on first. It's introduced to the audience. I come out and I do a lip sync. And for the last tour especially, I was doing Moana. And then I sit down and I read a fun book, which is called The Book With No Pictures. So it's just about making weird noises. It's written by a guy that's on the American version of The Office, and it has no pictures. And then we, from this is, I'm only going off the format from the last tour that we did. The next part is doing a dance called Shake Your Sillies Out, because I say how silly that book is. And then I do my second book, which is usually, I can't remember, I think it's Perfectly Norman. So Perfectly Norman is about a young child, and he's forever hiding his big elaborate wings that he has grown, and too scared to show them off, and hides them under a coat, and then realizes that there's other people that have wings and he shouldn't hide them away, and lets them go, and everyone's flying around the sky. And then I introduce Erica out. So Erica is Daniel. I introduce Erica out. He usually does the lip sync of for Frozen. And then he reads two books. One's called Whitney and Brittany, the Chicken Divas. And the other one is Giraffes Can't Dance. And then it's tradition for us. We always end with everyone doing Baby Shark.
And what's the aim of your content? What are you trying to get across?
So for us, it's always been about anti-bullying and being kind to each other and accepting other people's differences and your own. So I was always a bit of a black sheep of my family, growing up in quite a conservative and Indian family. I was the show pony, I guess. And that kind of stifled me a little bit. And of course, Dan, you know, grew up, he was always wearing the fairy costumes at kindergarten and things like that, and always into musical theatre. He studied musical theatre. So, yeah, and so just embracing who you are and also being kind to other people who might be different, and that could be culturally different, religiously different, all sorts of differences.
Is there any aim, though, to specifically concentrate on gender at such an early age to create an awareness, I guess you would say, of gender fluidity?
Not really. Okay. No, it never was. Like, as drag queens, yes, it's predominantly males dressing as females that do it, but I'm, of course, am a bio female, and I do it, and it's just about being eccentric. And we were originally asked to do Rainbow Storytime in drag by the original library that got us in, and that's
how. Who was the original library, Sunita?
It's South Taranaki District Council.
And why did they decide, or why did they make that offer, do you think?
I'm not sure. So basically they had put a post up in a community post somewhere and had asked Olivia St. Renfrew, who's a Rainbow Storytime drag queen in Wellington, if she could come and do it. And she was like, oh, it's too far for me, but here are some drag queens in New Plymouth. And they didn't realise there were drag queens in New Plymouth. And that's how we got involved and we started doing it. And, yeah, it just evolved from there.
Do you understand the suspicion that people have when it comes to gender ideology? For example, some of the stuff in the curriculum part in schools, I've seen the way it's worded, and I'm here to hear what you have to say. It's not about me. But I would say, and I'm a parent of three grown-up female children now, that I could see from the way that was formatted, the way it was worded, and the way it was, constructed, that parents could have quite a degree of unease as to what the messaging was and what they were trying to tell my kids. Are you aware of that?
I have read the constructs of the curriculum and I don't see that in there. And going beyond that, I'm definitely not seeing that they're encouraging five-year-olds to chop their genitals off.
I didn't mean that. That's fair enough, but I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about a subtle, I guess, movement towards thinking about something that could be argued is well above their age range.
I don't see okay. that in what I have read of the curriculum at all. Have been involved in the rainbow, gay, trans community for 20 plus years. And, my mind isn't changed in any way. And, people like Daniel, who were always a bit gay, he was taught by straight people. He was never indoctrinated to be straight. I don't see that in the...
Wait on, though, gay and straight are a bit different from having fluid gender, because that's new thinking.
Having fluid gender is new thinking?
I think it is in the public mind.
No, definitely not.
I
mean, it's, no.
Well, I can tell you from my, I'm 60 now. We only ever used to think of binary male, female, and that was kind of a fact that we accepted. So this is more recent.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, no, I've never, like, in my culture, in Indian culture, there are deities who are both genders who go around and bless weddings, and they'd be known as transgender now. And most cultures and Indigenous cultures do have, more than two genders.
Okay.
And that's always been. And, you also got to think about the fact that there is male, female, and intersex. Hmm. So, there are actually more biological genders as well.
Okay. To the damage that you think Brian Tamaki and Destiny Church has done to your business, and maybe you think it's bigger than that as well. Let's start off with the defamation. What is the nature of the defamation?
So, you can't really go around calling people by name and saying that they are pedophiles when it is not true, definitely.
Right.
So that's pretty much black and white defamation right there. And when it starts affecting people, definitely not a good thing to do.
Okay, I guess that answers that.
Yeah, black and white.
Breach of contract.
Breach of contract. So basically when our events got cancelled, it wasn't because the council decided to do it. It is because of the impact that Destiny Church had. They wouldn't confirm that it was going to be a peaceful protest. It was asked of them if it would be. If they had said yes, in a timely manner, our shows would have gone ahead. Because a peaceful protest is fine. But in turn with that, we and the libraries were receiving violent threats.
Well, that leads on to conspiracy to injure, I guess.
Yes, well, the conspiracy to injure is actually more to the fact of the company. So injury to the company, as in our reputation and what we do.
Yeah.
That is not the physical injury as you'd think it is. But yeah, it's more to do with the damages caused by the disinformation caused in regards to my company and what we do. Yeah.
So you did take a hit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
A financial hit, right?
We've cancelled everything, cancelled all of our shows because we can't guarantee the safety of our cast members. They used images and you made placards out of the Rocky Horror Picture Show, which is clearly not a child show, but one of the shows that we are very famous for touring around New Zealand, which is a real blow because it's 50 years of Rocky Horror next year and we were supposed to be touring it around New Zealand, and we've had to cancel all of that. We had a very successful South Island tour, and so that's one of the biggest blows that we've had. And then, of course, the fact that Dan has felt unsafe and has moved over to the UK. That means I've lost my co-producer, guest, you know, my main headliner. So there goes that side of everything for me.
Yeah. So physically threatened is what you're talking about, right?
Yes, yeah. We literally received messages that they have been told to attack us on site, things like that. I've had to up the security at my home. We've had threatening phone calls, all sorts of things coming through to us. So we can't say it is all completely Destiny Church, but they are always referencing and saying things about that are exactly what Destiny Church members are saying to us.
I asked Brian Tamaki about the imagery using the boy with the severed head and the tagline "Time to Kill." He explained to me that it was a biblical
David and Goliath.
Yeah, David and Goliath story. Do you accept that from him?
Oh, he wouldn't be in his position if he wasn't really good at creating a yarn from something and trying to use that and back it up. So I come from a biblical background. I was brought up Christian. I actually went to Destiny Church for a little bit as well.
Oh, really? Is that right?
Yeah. No, he totally denies it, of course. He denies anyone who's done any wrongdoing that okay. might have attended his
That's
church.
Interesting angle. Didn't know that one.
So I totally understand. Like, we actually started going to his church. This is my family. We were living in Sydney. We were going to Hillsong Church and would come over to Auckland every once in a while and would go to Destiny Church. We just thought, oh, look at this really cool young brown fellow, and he says the word shit in his services and stuff like that. And that's how we sort of got involved with the church. We thought, oh, this guy's really, really cool. And then, we just... That was just before the time he started doing like the TV show and stuff, and that's when we stopped going. Yeah, and then we like don't really like what he's saying anymore.
I think he said, if I remember correctly, he said that this is more of a spiritual battle than a physical battle. Can you see how some though would see this as having a spiritual dimension to it?
I do not, because as far as I'm concerned, it's not affecting him. If people don't want to have children, if people don't want to live the life that they are being forced to live and are expected to live and feel like they are somebody else, if people feel like they love the same gender, it doesn't actually have any impact or effect on anybody else. I really don't understand it. The definition of a female is someone that can bear children and has a uterus and all that sort of stuff. Well, I'm sorry, but I've never born children. My uterus doesn't work. Does that now make me not a female? So that's...
Doesn't it come down to chromosomes? I don't want to get into this because what do I know? But doesn't it come down to a bit higher resolution than you've just described?
It can come down to chromosomes, absolutely. But there are those who are intersex. They can be physically intersex, meaning they have both sets of genitals.
But this is a very small proportion, isn't it? Very small proportion.
It's around about the same percentage of people whom are intersex, and they may not even know this until later on in adulthood. It's the same percentage as those whom have natural red hair.
Okay.
So if you see someone walking around with natural red hair, you can also think, oh, the next person may be someone who's intersex, yeah.
Have you got any comment about his plan to sue councils and libraries across the country over promoting LGBT initiatives, including the crossings, the story time events, obviously? He claims it's a misuse of ratepayers' money and rainbow washing. What have you got to say about that?
Maybe just 5 letters, LMFAO.
I'm not that quick. You're going to have to help me out here.
Yeah, laugh my effing ass off. Yeah, no, okay, absolutely. Right. Like, it's fine. He's obviously got more dollars and cents, but he can put those dollars into, you know, what he's going to be paying us.
Okay, so how confident are you in this case?
Really confident. It's so evident what he has said and what he is still saying. You know, we spent 3 months of relatively being silent after all of the stuff happened in Gisborne, Hastings and Rotorua. And that time was spent trawling. We had an army of people going through people's accounts, going through all social medias and gathering the evidence. We even took it to NetSafe, and NetSafe actually said, there is way too much evidence here. We don't even know where to start. So it's, and you've seen once we actually filed the application to the High Court on the 27th of June that people were locking profiles, deleting content, but it was too late. We had it all.
Okay. Yeah. Well, interesting to hear the other side, and thank you for coming on our program this morning and explaining that, Sunita and Torrance, House of Flash.
It.
And we'll be following with interest, as you can probably guess, how this goes. Well, what's the timeline on this, do you think?
Oh, it's likely to be at least 1 year before it even gets into the court. So we've got one more person to serve and who's being a little bit tricky. So once that's done, at least we can start, you know, the courts know that it's ready to go. And, we can hopefully start getting dates and things coming through, and they'll start doing whatever they want to do on their side as well. Yeah.
And you're able to survive economically in the meantime, if your business at the time anyway was sort of cut off.
So I'm lucky that I also have a sole trader business where I do photo booths and I'm a DJ. So I do lots of weddings and school balls and things like that. So I'm doing that. I'm also temping and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, and at the moment I'm just really kind of trying to look after my own health as well. Yeah. So, I'm a really bad diabetic.
We know plenty of good doctors on the station who may be able to help. Is it type 2?
Type 1.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Sorry to hear about that. Type 2 we seem to be able to help people with. But
yeah.
All right. Yeah. Again, thank you for coming on RCR and explaining that. And like I say, we'll keep an eye on things and maybe we can come back for another chat sometime, okay?
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you so much for having me.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.